Bible reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and just a few short verses starting at verse 24. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you, and Happy New Year to you all from myself and my wife, Catherine, but also from Sue. I know she's already said it, and Ian and the rest of the staff here. It's great to see you, and we pray God's best for you and his blessing on you in 2017. Now, I wonder if anybody's begun the year by making a resolution at all. I mean, I'm not going to ask you what they are, but if you've already made a resolution, put your hand up. One, two, three. Gosh, we've got some not very brave people around here who are not afraid of... I've made a resolution. I'm happy to tell you what it is, and you can ask me if I'm sticking to it, okay? So I'm going to stick my neck out. I've resolved that once a month, I'm going to cycle the whole of the Guild Wheel. Now, for some of you, that's nothing, because you cycle probably two or three times that when you're out on a training run. But for me, it's at least 24 miles too far. So if I manage to make the Guild Wheel every month this year, and you can ask me how I'm getting on, I'll let you know. But I don't know whether you made a resolution or not, but I've been thinking about this and thinking about the passage that Graham read. And I was thinking about what Paul was saying, and it seemed like Paul was a guy who made resolutions. So the next question I want to ask is, are any of you in training, and do you run? Would you dare to put your hand up if you're a runner and you're in training? We've got a couple. We've got Roy, we've got John, we've got Lisa, Right, I think I've got a great race going on here. Lisa and Eleanor. Right, would you volunteer kindly for me this morning? Come on. Lisa and Eleanor, come on. So first of all, I'll ask Lisa about her training regime. How far do you run when you're training?
About 5K at the moment.
5K? Yeah. What's that in real English?
Where's Anne-Marie? About
3 miles. 3 miles. 6 5's the 30, that's 3 miles. Okay, right. Eleanor, how far do you run?
Anything from about 3 miles to 7.
To 7?
Yeah.
So, right, okay. What's that in K?
I've no idea.
I thought you were bright. About 5 to 10 miles. Okay, right. So how often do you run?
About 6 times a week.
6 times a week?
Yeah.
Lisa?
Between 3 and 5.
Okay. Would you guys be up for a race this morning?
She'll win.
Please. Just so you know, I have brought a prize, okay? So I know there's an age difference, significant, and I know the older you get, the slower you are. Although I do know one person in this church who is... I don't know how old he is, but I think certainly in his 50s, he did his fastest 5K ever this year. I was really impressed that he's getting faster and faster. He gets old. It's going the other way with me. Right, so what I want you to do is, Ellen, if you start there and face that way, Lisa, if you start here and face that way, I want you to run. No, you'll start here and that way. Right, I want you to run 2 whole laps outside, not outside, right round the congregation, yeah? 2 whole laps, so you cross each other, hopefully right in the middle at the back, twice. But then on the final lap, you come down the middle, okay? Now, they do need encouragement, so all this side, you're going to be shouting for Eleanor. And this side, you're shouting for Lisa. So after 3, shout for Lisa. 1, 2, 3. You're not going to win with that. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Right. I didn't hear a Lisa there. Go, Lisa. Go, Lisa. Right. After three for Eleanor. One, two, three. Yeah, Ross. Sounds like Liverpool here and Man United there. Right. So two whole laps and then down the middle, and there is a prize for the winner. Okay. Great. Right. So, I think, do we need somebody to be a judge around here? Do you think we can trust them not to cheat or anything like that? Because you're in church, you can't cheat in church, right? Right, so ready? You know the, go on the B of the bang, so when I clap my hands, you ready, steady to go? Okay, ready? Ready, steady, go! Come on! Whoa, halfway! And another lap. Right, so, I said there was a fantastic prize, and I spent a significant amount of time making this yesterday. Flower ladies, please know, okay, I've got you a laurel crown. Okay. There you are. See, look, show everybody. Thank you, Eleanor. Well done. We'll talk about the laurel crown in a moment or two, but I thought, well, laurel crowns in chocolate, there's no comparison, is there? So thank you very much. Thank you. So, Paul talked about running. He talked about the idea that he's not running as in physically running like Eleanor or Lisa are. But he does talk about us running in such a way as to get the prize. Now, some of you may know who this is. Anybody, any idea? Hands up only. Anybody know who that is? Carol had her hand up first. Usain Bolt, right. So I know, because I've watched some videos of him training, this guy, he might seem like he's just playing a big game, and he's always laughing, he's always cheerful, he's always smiling. If you watch his training, he is intensely serious. Intensely serious. And he's well ripped. But Paul says, run in such a way as to get the prize. What's he talking about? Because he's not talking about laurel leaves or anything like that. And he says, everyone who goes into the games and competes goes into strict training. Anybody know who that is? Hands up. Anybody know? Tracy? Mo. Yeah, it's Mo Molan, right? So, is that right? No? Who? It's Sir Mo, yes. Sir Mo Farah, yeah. And again, if you watch Mo, he leaves his family, he goes thousands of miles across the world to train at high altitude. He is serious about what he does. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, you've taken your crown off. I didn't say you could take it. Put your crown back on. Oh, Mum's nicked it. Right, stand up again, Eleanor. Thank you very much. Sorry to embarrass you. Right, so Paul then says, and what's interesting is, this is the Athens Olympic Games. 2,000 years ago, when Paul was writing, the only prize you got was not a gold medal. It was not a sponsorship deal with Nike or Adidas or Reebok or whatever. All you got was a laurel crown like Eleanor's wearing this morning. That's all you got. And guess what happened to the laurel crown? What happened? It died. It faded and it died. Now, I picked those freshly yesterday because I didn't think you want to put a horrible brown crown on. But I can guarantee you that in 2 or 3 days, the leaves will wilt. And the wonderful prize that you got this morning for beating Lisa, the old lady. I mean, sorry, sorry. She'll kick me when she gets into the office on Tuesday. it will fade and die. All right? Thank you very much, Eleanor. I won't embarrass you again. So Paul says, whatever those athletes do, they're competing for a crown that will not last. But he says, we are competing for a crown. We're in training. We're in development. Our Christian lives are for a crown that will last forever. Now, I'm about to put a picture of one of my favouritest ever sportsmen on the screen. And some of you might be old enough to tell me who this is. Hands up. Hands up, Jeff. Sugar Ray Leonard. Never mind Muhammad Ali. This guy is the most beautiful boxer to ever fight in the boxing ring. And I'll fight you outside if you disagree, okay, right? But Paul writes and he says, I don't fight like a boxer beating the air. I beat my body to make it my slave. So boxers, when they're in training, I don't know if you've seen them, they do a lot of this, and there's nobody in front of them. They're practicing their uppercuts, and they're practicing their jabs and things like that, and they're practicing the defense. They work really hard to do that. And Paul says, no, I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to be tough on myself in order for my own development, ready to get a crown, to get a prize that will last forever. Now that prize has already been won for us by Jesus Christ. But there's a way in which at the beginning of a brand new year, we can get ourselves into training. We can make some resolutions that will actually help us keep running in the race. Now, I know that a marathon runner doesn't run a marathon every day. Now, some people do because they're in a charity thing, but generally a marathon runner, he'll start, and he'll start with a mile, maybe, and then two, and then he'll build it up. And usually they don't run a marathon till the very day of the marathon. Usually they just begin with small steps. And if you're going to do any kind of training, the thing to do is, look, just do about 10 minutes, then have a bar of chocolate, okay? And then you do about 20 minutes and have another bar of chocolate, okay? After 30 minutes, get off the bars of chocolate, stop and have a hot chocolate. And okay, so you start slowly and you build it up. That's what I'm saying. And I just want to give you three ways, and you'll say, well, they're obvious, I know all those. But I want to tell you this, that time and time again, when Christian research groups do their research, they find out that Christians individually and as families miss out on these things again and again and again. So the first bit of training you could get into, the first resolution you could make is simply this: read your Bible. You're running for a crown. You're running for a reward that will last forever, not laurel leaves that will fade and die. But one of the best ways you can get your life into training for Jesus Christ is read your Bible. The more you read your Bible, the more you'll grow to love its author. Seriously, this is about relationship. And it's not about, phew, I've read my Bible every day. And if Pastor Gardner asks me, I'll be able to say, yeah, I've read it every day for the last 2 days. Okay, it's not about that. It's by reading this book, you will deepen and grow in your love relationship with Jesus. He wrote it for you, so you could grow in him. Another simple step in training is pray. Paul writes to the Ephesian church and he says, always pray in every way. Now, some of you I know, you think, oh, I don't come to one of the prayer meetings on a Tuesday because I can't pray like what them lot do. Paul says pray in every way. He doesn't say you have to pray like Pastor Gardner. He doesn't say you have to pray like the super spiritual people that you think go to the prayer meeting. I want to tell you, I pray with us lot. They're not super spiritual. They're just normal. They're great, normal people who are being disciplined. So maybe for you to say, right, I'm going to take time, I'm going to make time, I'm going to be disciplined because I'm competing for a crown that will last forever. Talking to God grows our trust in him. And then the last thing is simply be thankful. Keep thanking God. Worship. Worship will grow your wonder of God. Whether you like Psalms, whether you like listening to King's College Cambridge or Hillsong is not the issue. The issue is, will you grow in your worship of Jesus? Because that will grow in your wonder. So, are you going for limp laurel leaves? Okay, some of you I know are totally into fitness. I enjoy keeping fit and stuff like that. It's great. Walked the dog for 3 minutes yesterday. I mean, 3 miles. And I'll be on the cross trainer when I get cross enough to get on it. But whatever you do, remember, anything you're doing in this world needs to be counting for eternity. And you can make some decisions today, like, I'm going to read my Bible to grow in love with God. I'm going to pray and simply trust God with my life by bringing all the big issues and the little issues in my life to Him. And I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to worship Him for all the goodness that He's given me, whether it's thank you for the meal I'm about to eat, but it's thank you for the fact that Jesus saved me at the cross. I'm going to be a worshiper. Limp laurel leaves or an everlasting crown. I wonder if anybody can guess what that is a picture of. Can anybody see it looks like a pile of rubbish? Anybody see the picture? Well, if you can, nobody's daring to put the hand up. Can we fade into the next one then, please, Jack? It's actually a picture of this. Because recently, a gentleman found this 2,000-year-old gold laurel leaf crown in his rubbish. And it's worth £100,000. But nothing compared to the reward that's held out for you as you go into training that will last forever. Let's pray together. So just in a moment of quietness, you might know that it's got to be all those three things, reading your Bible, praying, worship. You've got to somehow build those into your life and make a beginning. Or maybe there's one of those things and you think, yeah, I know this year has got to be the year I begin to read my Bible in a new way. This year's got to be the year where I learn to pray in a new way. This year's got to be a year when I worship my Lord, my Savior, my God. Right here, right now, in your heart and in your mind, dare to make a resolution. Dare to make a spiritual resolution. Ask God for His presence, His help. The Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of love, and a spirit of self-control. Ask God for His help. Amen. As you leave, you'll get a pastor's printout. If you read Pastor Sue's article in printout, it will remind you what I've said, but it will also help you make some great new beginnings. God bless you. Thanks.